Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today on the program, I'll be talking with Sean Griffin, author of the young adult fantasy novel, Animal Kind. And to add a very interesting twist on our interview today, I've also brought 14-year-old Ian McCurley to the first segment of our show. He is a book reviewer for ReaderViews Kids and wrote a really fantastic review for Animal Kind. So I'm just happy to have him here as well. A little bit about Sean Griffin before we begin. He was born in Arlington, Texas in 1972. And graduated from the University of Texas at Arlington, where he studied primary sciences, including physics, chemistry, and zoology. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in biology in 1995, and in 2003 obtained his MBA, also from the University of Texas at Arlington. Sean has always had a love for fiction writing, including fantasy, science fiction, detective, and mystery. He currently resides near Fort Worth, Texas, with his wife, Rebecca, and their two boys, Ian and Jack, who, according to Sean, have imaginations as unpredictable as their father. So I'm just happy to have Sean on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Sean.
I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you. And Ian, you're there too, I know. Thanks for coming on to the program today.
Happy to be here.
Good, good. So first of all, Sean, congratulations. I'm pretty sure this is your first book.
That's correct. That's the first complete one. I've started several and gotten close to the end, but the first complete novel.
This is the first complete published novel. Now, so you have actually written more in the short story thing, from what I understand.
Oh, yes, yeah. Just pretty much ever since I can remember, I was always writing stories and making up crazy tales. But, yeah, this is the first full novel I've ever done.
So why a young adult novel for the first book?
Well, I don't know. That's really a good question. I don't know that if I would have thought about what I would wind up writing when I finished a novel, it would have been young adult. But it's just something that when the idea came into my head, it was just perfect to have a lead that was in that age group. So I took it from there, and I'm not a real big fan of books, I guess, that have too much graphic violence or sex or, you know, cursing. So, I mean, it was just the perfect genre fit for me, I think.
So when you were that age, like the character in your book and the whole young adult genre, were you reading pretty voraciously at that time?
Yeah, I would say I was a pretty big reader. I wasn't, I didn't read every night, but I always did like to read. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pretty big reader.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little about Animal Kind. It's a very unique story. Equally as unique is the setting. So tell us a little bit about, is it pronounced Aegea?
Aegea, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and the people of Aegea.
Yeah, the people of Aegea, basically, I've always liked books that had kind of a shapeshifter element or stories or movies, whether it be, you know, just vampires or maybe not in the horror setting, but just creatures, mythological creatures that shapeshifted. And Aegea takes place in a world where the playing field's kind of leveled. Everybody shapeshifts. Everybody has a human form and an animal form. And their animal form kind of leads what they do in their human life. And so you have people in different cultures that are have similar animal kinds that group together, and it leads to a lot of conflict. And that's pretty much the central storyline of the book.
Mm-hmm. So, Ian, let's have you chime in here. I know you have a few questions about the characters in this book. Do you want to start us off with your first question?
Yeah, it was a great book, Sean, and I was just wondering, where do you get the inspiration for your characters?
Wow, you know, that's a really good question. When I came up with the idea and started developing the different characters that I would need, you know, I really don't know where Thane came from. Just trying to develop the hero character, and but the other characters, Trussell, she's another lead character, a female lead that's his teacher at his school. Her personality traits probably came from some teacher I had, or a blend of traits, and I would say Mortigal. I kind of picture him as the torn bad guy that turns out to be kind of a good guy. And, you know, I don't know. I think I probably just stole different personality traits from movies and books that I've liked and kind of blended them into characters here and there. So.
Mm-hmm. Some really, really fantastic characters in here. Okay, Ian, I know you have another question.
Well, some of the personality types in your book are atypical. Why do you choose these types for your writing?
Yeah, well, what I tried to do, and I hope it came out in the book, was so basically not kind of like their physical traits are sometimes apparent in their human forms, also their personalities are. So some of the alpha males, for example, from the carnivores, well, they're going to have more of a, you know, abrasive, leading, demanding personality in their human forms. And so maybe some of the subservient animals will also be a little more meek and quiet and calm. So among the vegans, the stronger herbivore, if you'd say, you know, type creatures, well, you're gonna see that a little bit more in their personality too. So and maybe the mischievous animals are going to be the ones that are a little more, you know, kind of humorous or you know, make more jokes.
Mm.
So I did try to use a lot of their animal characteristics in how I developed their human personalities. So hopefully that came out in the book.
I was wondering as I was kind of researching this book, Sean, if as a biologist and just from kind of this storyline, if I was wondering if you people like that, if you kind of categorize them into what animal they may
you know,
also embody.
I have
embody.
Actually done that. That's funny you say that. I have actually done that. And you know, it's the first one that happened to me was when some people found out about this at work. And my boss kind of threw a little deal and had a cake. He was really cool to do that. And then while we're there, someone said, "So what kind of animal is your boss?" And,
yeah.
You know, he's got a kind of a real outgoing personality. And people are like, "Oh, he's Vitalis. He's the bad guy." And so yeah, I have actually done that myself, too. And I know other people have, too. "Oh, yeah, he'd be a good donkey or something."
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I have done that. That's funny.
That is. So tell us, okay, you've got basically five different categories of shape-shifting kind of animal humans in this story.
Right.
So you've got the vegans and the carnivores or the carnics.
Right, the carnics, yep.
And so tell us about the other three because we haven't heard about them yet.
Sure. Well, the vegans are pretty much the these groups are divided based on, you know, the animal, the dietary preference and, you know, how they live, how the animal forms live of each of the humans. And so they stay together in their own little niches. And the vegans are the herbivores, those that, you know, just eat plants. Obviously, they don't eat each other in their own group. And the carnivores are obviously the meat eaters. They hunt anything they can eat. And the avians are the birds. And the aquans are the fish, and reptilian are not. There are not many of them in this book, and they are the reptilian. Those that, you know, change into reptiles, snakes, frogs, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does Thane is the? He's a vegan.
Correct. Yes.
And he's the main character. So tell us how he factors into this story. Basically, kind of what happens in Animal Kind.
Sure. Well, he is basically the son of a vegan king, one of the leaders of the vegan people. They're kind of a nomadic people, and there was one pretty much when the story starts, the vegans are pretty scattered throughout, and they're pretty much just trying to fight for survival, and the carnivores are slowly picking them off. And one vegan, he kind of takes charge of a number of people, kind of migrates them to a different part of the world to where they can hopefully thrive in seclusion. And this king has a son named Thane, and Thane, as the story develops, turns out that he has powers that will help them fight off the carnivores. So he has to turn out to be kind of a hero, although he definitely doesn't have that type of personality when the story begins. He's kind of a quiet, kind of, you know, an average kid that gets thrust into the middle of a really big conflict.
Mm-hmm. And he goes through a huge metamorphosis in this story, too.
Right, yeah, he does. He starts out, you know, kind of like I said, an average kid, but by the end of the story, he's definitely a hero, and he pretty much has to save all of his people.
Yeah.
In a really big war. He's the central defender of his people.
That's a big draw for a young reader, you know, having
yeah.
having a strong character like that they can relate to.
I hope so. You know, I thought about it, and it, you know, I was kind of torn on his age, what age to make him, and I kind of started out having him, you know, maybe 10 or 11, but thought, okay, that's way too young, but then I didn't want him to be, you know, too much older than he is so that he can actually kind of, you know, you go through conflict, as Ian would know.
Ian, did you have another question for Sean?
Yes, actually, I'm a writer myself somewhat, and I know that sometimes you get writer's block. Where do you get your inspiration?
Wow,
you
know, I have been, although I have had writer's block many times myself, it was funny, with this book, I really did not have writer's block at all, and it's kind of the way I write. I'll try to make an outline first, and then I just plug away. For me, my writer's block was just time. I'm pretty busy. I've got a full-time job. I've got two kids, so it was, for me, my only block was time. As soon as I could actually sit down on my computer, you know, I pretty much knew what I was going to do. But I don't know. This one, I was really driven. I mean, it was like something that God just told me I needed to do, and I was so focused on it that for me, it just came down to time.
So you don't actually need any kind of an external inspiration. It's basically just there for you. Has it always been like that in your writing?
I don't know. You know, it was funny. This one, it just seemed to kind of take over. It was something I just had to do. So
yeah.
After my kids were in bed, I'd spend some time with my wife, and then I'm pretty much a night owl. So I would just sit down and hack away at the computer until, you know, 12:30, and then get up and go to work the next day. So it did, you know, I was driven, definitely, for sure, and I pretty much it's always been that way for me, but for sure on this novel specifically, it was something I just had to do for some reason, so I was pretty focused. And
yeah, it sounds like it. You know, so just adding a little bit to Ian's question, you know, he said that he is a writer, and I know a lot of our listeners are aspiring writers as well. Is there any advice that you would give, you know, this being your first book, and there's so much to learn in writing and publishing a first book. Is there any advice that comes to mind that you could put out there for them?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we could definitely make a whole interview based on
this. Oh, I know.
But I think what I would say is just do it. It's definitely, if I can do this, if anyone can, and I know it's hard to say that and think, oh, yeah, it's hard to write a whole book. But, you know, if you have the idea and the inspiration, you think you want to do it, I would just say do it, because you can get it published. You will eventually get it published. You'll get some rejection, and you'll have to kind of figure things out. But especially these days, you will find a publisher. And, you know, just stick with it. Don't give up. Don't think that it's not something you're going to be able to do, and, you know, it's too hard. But, yeah, if you have any motivation at all, go for it.
Mm. Sean?
Why do we repeat that?
Oh, sorry. Sean. Yeah, Sean, did you take writing classes at all? Was that an important part of this writing journey of yours?
You know, I never did. I always, you know, I don't, that's a good question. I never took a specific writing class, like how to write fiction or how to write books. I knew that there were different classes you could take on that. But no, I never did. I think I just have always done this for so long that that I just did it naturally. Now, I'm a technical writer, sort of. I mean, that's not my title, but at work I have to technically write, which is pretty much opposite of this. But you know, I'm a pretty quick typist, so. But yeah, never really took any specific novel writing classes.
No. Well, you know, sometimes people that read a lot really just pick up on the technical aspects of writing, and so, you know, classes aren't needed. I was just interested. So, Ian, I know you have one more question for Sean today.
Yes. Do you identify with any of your characters?
Wow, yeah, all the heroes, no. I don't know. That's a good one. Maybe Thane to some extent, because not because of him being the hero, but because you have to sometimes, you know, life is kind of a struggle, and you have to try and adapt, and you know, being a parent, you want to try and be a good example for your kids, and be the you know, the leader of your household or whatever you need to be, and so, you know, I guess with him, because it's not perfect, it's not an easy world, you know, and you kind of have to adapt and learn as you go. So, and that's something he has to do in the book. So that's probably the main one.
So probably Thane the most. your lead?
Probably Thane the most. I guess Mortigal too, in a way, because he also deals with a lot of conflict in him. He's, you know, torn between, you know, he kind of relates to the Vagans a little bit, and he's in love with one, so that kind of tears him apart because he's a natural carnivore. His animal form is a wolf, so he doesn't really belong with them. They don't want. And so, you know, he's also trying to, you know, settle all the conflicts he can inside and find true love, like all of us.
Definitely powerful writing.
What was that, Ian? Go ahead again.
Definitely powerful writing.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Ian.
You know, Ian, you wrote a really great book review for Animal Kind, and I have here in front of me the last line of it. It says, Animal Kind is for young readers from ages 12 and up who enjoy animals, eating animals, or watching animals eat other animals. I thought that was just so funny. Nice book review.
Yeah, I had a lot of people comment on that. That's that was a pretty funny line.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I appreciate the review, Ian. I'll be sure to get you a free copy of the second book.
The sequel. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ian. I know that you really enjoyed this book. You're at school right now, and you're taking some precious time out to talk with us and be a part of this interview today. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. So, Sean, you really presented the animals in the story in a very new way to readers, and I'd like to know where you kind of really got the idea for this storyline with the whole shape-shifting and bringing animals to a new light, and how strong the theme of morality was as a motivating factor for you in writing this story.
You know, the idea itself kind of popped in my head, I guess, about 7 years ago, I think, is when I actually just started the whole project, at least in my head anyway. And I had written some short stories, and this one, you know, I don't remember exactly what it was. I mean, I wasn't watching anything specific to a shape-shifting show or anything about another movie related somewhat. But, you know, I always liked zoology in college, so I've had a lot of time around animals and reading about animals and that type of thing. And so, you know, when you think about sitting down and writing a short story, I was always, you know, trying to come up with new ideas, original ideas, and this one just popped in my head one day, and it with it came its title, Animal Kind. I mean, almost in the same thought. I was like, hey, how about a book about people that shift into animals? And that's been done. I mean, there was a movie, I think it was called Cat People, and I remember watching that when I was a little kid, and it was just about people that shifted into cats living in modern day. There was, I don't really remember the whole plot, but I think it was set modern, and so I had seen that, but this was more, I wanted it to be medieval. Everybody is on the same playing field, and I really did not think about the morality, the moral issues that would come about it when I originally started writing it. And it didn't take long, about two chapters into it, and as I'm developing the conflicts, it was just hit me in the face, like, uh-oh, this is going to be that's going to be interesting. And you know, I tried to make it real. How would it play out? And what kind of moral conflicts just happen? If we did happen to live in a world like this, what would we do? And, the conflicts were just natural and almost by accident, but then, yeah, it's part of the book.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio, as well as podcasting, is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Sean Griffin, author of Animal Kind. You can find out more about Sean through his website, SeanPGriffin.com. And it's part of the evolution of a story. You know, it sounds like you're a writer that, you know, you have the original idea, that seed, but then it just kind of grows on its own as you're writing.
Yeah, it pretty much did, and especially, you know, and I don't beat the reader with, hey, you should be a vegetarian or you should be a carnivore or, you know, be an omnivore. It's not about that, so I don't want people to think that is what it is, but that is an aspect to the book that you're going to naturally get out of this is, you know, hey, there's different people, they have different tastes, and that's, you know, that is a conflict in the book, and so...
Well, I was wondering about that because that norm, you know, anybody kind of reading this or finding out a little bit about your book would probably jump to the conclusion that you're making some pretty big statements about vegetarianism against eating meat, you know. So I really wanted to know if that was an issue that was specifically placed in here or, you know, what your thoughts were on that theme.
No, I think that's a great question. You know, some people have read it and not really picked up on that hey, that's just a big aspect of this. So, and others have thought, oh wow, that's great, that tackles that. And I've had people from like a vegan radio station contact me interested in it because they, you know, have the title vegan in it. So, you know, hey, it's about vegans that, you know, destroy all the carnivores. And, and you know, that's really not the point of the book, although it is. You know, it is an aspect to it for sure. And, it is definitely a big conflict. But, yeah, someone who picks it up, you really don't care about that issue, well, don't worry about it. It's not something that's just going to constantly be thrown at you. So, it is there.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little more about the character names in this book, because you've got some very interesting names, and I know readers are really getting a kick out of them. So tell us how you came up with the names.
Sure. Well, you know, I think like I said previously, I took zoology in college. I've always been a big fan of animals and, you know, always had these little wildlife taxonomy cards that, you know, back in the day we used to have, they used to have infomercials on them and you can, you know, buy these little wildlife animal cards on TV. You call some, you know, 1-800 number from 1995, you get your little cards or whatever.
Right.
So I've always just loved animals and, so I kind of learned the genus species name, the taxonomical classification for animals. And so in college, of course, that helped in high school too. But so when I was developing all the characters, and there's quite a few characters in the book, and then coming up with names, I thought, hey, it'd be kind of neat if I planted little hints for people about, you know, for readers about what the different animals were. And the best way to do that was to kind of tie their taxonomical names into their actual character names. So, like Cabalus, who's you know, one of the key characters in the book. Well, his animal kind is a horse. And you don't know that right away about these people. Most of the time in the book, people are walking around in their human form. So you'll stumble upon a new character, like say Volpo, and you'll wonder, okay, what is Volpo? And sure, maybe 2% of the planet will know what Volpo is, but for that 2%, they'll go, hey, that guy's a fox. And, you know, it'll kind of be kind of an interesting little insight for them. So obviously not required, and that applies to maybe 80% of the characters in the book. But for those that, you know, really know that kind of stuff, hey, there's a little added bonus that they get a little insight before the animal kind is revealed. So
you must have had a lot of fun writing this book.
Yeah, I think it was pretty fun. I was definitely motivated to keep going, and I shared a lot of it with my wife as I went out. Like, oh, you gotta check out this chapter. And there were certain chapters where one of the things Ian mentioned earlier, the different personality traits of the different animals, and I'd have a chapter that focused on, say, Volpo. I just mentioned him and his personality. I love making him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a goofball, and so when I finished his chapter, and you know, I just had to show that to my wife. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Was she critical of anything? Was she a great editor for you?
No, she was. She was a great editor. She was very supportive, and always has been. I mean,
oh.
she's not a night owl like me, so it works out okay. So I'm not really. I haven't in my writing. I don't take myself away from her. She usually crashes by 10,
mm-hmm.
and for me, that's just. That's for some reason when I write the best is between those hours of like 10 and midnight. So that's usually when I do the most writing.
Mm-hmm.
And
everyone's asleep.
That works out fine, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little more about the other three groups that aren't the predominant groups. They're not the vegans or the carnivores. They're the avians and the reptilians and the aquans. So tell us about them and how they factor into this story.
Sure. At the beginning of the book, you're pretty much focused on just the vegans and the carnivores. And there is one avian, Trussell, who's lives among the vegans, or at least this one vegan group where Thane is. And so she's the only avian you meet for a while. And it's pretty much, as you read the book, the reader will learn that the avians kind of have their own culture, and they stay clear of the carnivores and the vegans, and they kind of just stick to themselves. And so they live in trees high above the ground, kind of away from everybody else, so they can fly to their homes, and it's really hard to reach them if you're in the carnivores or vegans. So they're kind of reclusive. They have their own culture and their own way of handling diet. And then the aquans, they live in the water, obviously. And so in the book, you'll learn how they pull this off, because obviously they can't stay on land too long, or especially if they want to shift into their animal forms. But they have figured out a way to actually live underneath the water in their human forms and aquan forms. And like the avians, they stick to themselves. They have their own world as they see it, and they think they're separate from all the conflict on the land. And then the last one is the reptilian. And they're not in the book very much, and I kind of did this on purpose. I mean, the book would have been 500 pages if I really got into them. But there is a scene where some of the vegans stumble upon the reptilians, and it was kind of more of a teaser for the second book, where they're kind of a bigger player.
I was wondering if we were going to see more of the reptilians in your sequel.
Yeah, they're definitely in the sequel, and kind of nasty. At least they were in this book, so we'll see what they're like in the next one.
So you're already writing book two?
Oh yeah, I'm already writing book two, and so these three realms, they kind of get pulled into the conflict, and that's how they get sucked into the story. The vegans go for help, and they go looking to these different groups and try and pull them into the conflict. And unwilling at first, they wind up becoming a part of the story and the conflict.
So was it a conscious theme to put in this story of having to unite against, I don't know, like I'm thinking of putting this into a modern day context of warring cultures or warring people and, you know, kind of the pursuit of freedom or the pursuit of peace. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts were of those kinds of threats in this novel.
Yeah, kind of that's it, because just the way that it plays out, the carnivores are they're the nasty ones, they're the bad guys, and, you know, I say that because I kind of am one myself, but they're the ones that are, you know, trying to enslave the others. I mean, they use them as a food source, they're trying to basically take over the land, so they are kind of the bad guy, and the other realms of animal kind, they're having to unite to kind of fight off these guys who are stronger, just like they are in the world right now in the animal kingdom. It's the carnivores that rule everything, the lions, the king of the jungle, and you know, that's kind of the way it plays out in the book too. They're tougher, stronger, and they're just a difficult foe. So it does kind of play out to where it's conflict, good versus evil, sort of, although the carnivores themselves aren't all evil. Some of them are really great people. But, they are definitely the main adversary.
So is this going to be throughout all of your books, you'll have deeper themes to them like this?
I don't think so, because I also like, say, murder mystery type books, and so those, you know, won't have a moral theme. And honestly, like we talked about previously, that wasn't even the intent of this book. And, but for sure, you know, this is part of this series, and I hope to write two more books in this series.
Oh, a trilogy.
And so it'll keep that same aspect. Will be throughout. But I don't think all of mine will have this unplanned moral dilemma, but you never know. Maybe that is something that just is part of my thinking, and I just don't realize it.
Yeah, it really could be. What about the whole? the young adult genre? Do you think you'll stick, well, obviously, with the next two books you will, but future plans down the road, will you be branching out into more adult style books?
Yeah, I probably will, especially for the murder mystery genre that I write, and maybe science fiction, too. I like all those. I'm such a mutt. I pretty much like all kinds of writing, and so that's good and bad, so it keeps me distracted, too, but... yeah, I would think for fantasy, I'd probably stay more young adult, and you know, who knows, maybe all of them will be young adult. That might just be the way I like to write. So, I would think adult for the crime drama. I just, you know, I don't know if that's great for a young adult audience. So we'll see.
Well, very interesting. Well, we are definitely going to keep our tabs on you. It sounds like you have a lot to offer, and this is just the beginning of your writing and publishing career.
Yeah, I hope so. It's definitely something I love to do, and it's, you know, you get that feeling that there's something you're supposed to do, and I definitely feel like this is something that I'm meant to do. So.
And it's very different.
There'll be more to come.
Yes, definitely, and it's very different from your, you know, quote-unquote day job.
Yeah, that's true. I work in the pharmaceutical industry. I work to get new medicines approved and medical devices to market, so. Yeah, this is a pretty big change for me.
Yeah, quite a contrast. I imagine this just really isn't a great creative outlet for you.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a great stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I play hockey, too, and so between the two of them, I think I can definitely be opposite my day job.
Yeah, I heard that
take it all out.
Yeah, I had heard that you played hockey, and I'm actually Canadian, so I'm a big fan of hockey, and it just struck me.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it struck me so funny because you're a Texan and you play hockey, which I can't really wrap my head around that.
Yeah, we didn't. I unfortunately didn't get it when I was growing up, elementary and junior and high school, but it came as soon as we got our Dallas Stars, our team down here. Then all of a sudden, everybody started playing, and I got to do that. I've got to do that. And so
it's a great sport.
Yeah, my wife's not quite as supportive on that as she is my writing, but it's okay. I don't come home broken up too much, so.
Good. So, Sean, what is your website? Where can we find out more about you and Animal Kind?
Sure. My website is www.seanpgriffin.com. That's SEANPGRIFFIN.com. And on there I've got, a synopsis of the book. I've got more details than that. I kind of break down the different realms and provide a little bit more insight into the book, so maybe someone can read that and see if they'd actually be interested in reading it or not. And I'll probably get a couple sample chapters up there pretty soon, too. I think that might be good.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'll kind of give a peek into other books I'm working on as well.
Great.
And also where you can buy it.
Wonderful. Are you doing any local book signings or anything like that?
You know, I haven't really, I don't have any set up right now. It's definitely something I need to do. I'm so busy with, my day job and my family. I haven't really pursued a whole lot of those, but I definitely should be doing that. Right now I've only signed the books of, friends and people I work with that bring it to me or mail me a book or two to sign. I've done that a few times, but that's about it.
Well, I just wanted to see if we could help give you a little plug for any upcoming event or anything like that. But we'll stay posted, and I'm sure if you do have any kind of event like that or a book signing that you'll put it up on your website.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would be willing to do that for sure, absolutely.
Well, great. Well, I'm so happy that you came onto the program today. This is such a unique novel, and I hope every young kid, picks this up because it really is a great read, and it's a very intelligent book as well. So just want to thank you.
I appreciate it. And I hope every adult picks it up too. So.
And every adult too, yeah, because I guess we do need to mention that. This isn't, this is a good read for an older audience as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I guess that the Harry Potter series and, the Narnia series are kind of young adult books that the adults of the world also tend to like. And so it's along that, and it's not just, it's, like you said, I don't know if I'll call it intelligent, but if you said it already, but there is some thinking to it. It's definitely not, dumbed down, but it's, so I think it's a good book that fits both young adult and adult. But
great.
Yeah, I'll pick it up.
Yes, I hope so, too. It's a great book, great title, and this. Thank you again, Sean, for coming on the program. I know we'll be talking again.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, there we go. I've been talking with Sean Griffin. His new novel, Animal Kind, can be purchased now through local and online booksellers. His website, seanpgriffin.com, and that's Sean spelled S-E-A-N. And so I hope you really enjoyed our interview today. Very interesting having Ian on with us earlier. Lots of information came out, and this is just really a fantastic book. So do check it out. Thanks for listening to Inside Scoop Live today, tuning in, and really appreciate you out there. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.